This week on the Time Bat Show.
But if we both had like 10 and 10, we'd have this podcast would be like the biggest thing ever. Because we'd be like, it'd probably be the most annoying podcast ever, too.
Yeah, I would hate it.
Be like, welcome to the Time Bat Show, everyone. I'm Ty Mazes.
You know, I'm Batman.
And today we're going to do a great episode on the great things that we talked about last week. That would be the show.
Yeah, oh, basically.
I can't even... Oh, man.
Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Time Bat Show. I am Bat Snacks.
And I'm Time Aces.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We are we're almost at 30.
That's almost exciting. At episode number 30.
Yeah. When we and we remember the episode number this week.
Yes. We're on top of things.
Yeah, we're on top of things. It's because you did the introduction, that's probably why. No, I'm doing pretty good. Just the usual. Nothing too exciting going on this week, but that's okay.
Yeah, same for me. I did my taxes and got my oil changed, and that's been my week. Did you,
the two eventful things. Did you get a refund?
A refund? Oh, yeah. Tax refund, yeah. For the first time in a while, too, because for a while I was working as a contractor and would have to pay
extra
for taxes. But yeah, you know, this year, I actually get a refund.
Nice. Yeah, I'm getting a refund this year, too, which is for the first time in a while. Yeah, they don't really tell you about those contractor taxes.
No.
Until you do it, and then you're like, crap.
You think you have all this money, and then,
and then
come April, they're like, by the way, I'm going to need like $3,000.
Yeah, I know, like a fourth of what you made. You're like, no, I didn't realize that was how it worked. Yeah, it hurts. It's a gut punch thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think people realize that. Well, they do once they start working as a contractor, but
yeah,
it's like you get taxed normally, but then there's an extra tax because you're self-employed.
Yeah.
So it's like more than... So if you're getting equivalent of a salaried employee, you're actually not getting that much at the end of the day after tax.
So. Yeah, and can you imagine if you were like a Twitch streamer or something? Because they don't even pay taxes during the year. They pay it all at once, I'm pretty sure, in April.
I think they can pay it during the year, but let's be honest. None of them
would
are.
You?
No. None of them are going to do that. Yeah, they would probably just have it all in April, and they'd put it into TurboTax, and they'd be like, well, shit.
Damn.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
That would hurt. You know? It would be tough. Especially because, like, I feel like... I don't want to paint broad strokes Twitch streamers here, but a lot of them are probably living fast and loose with their Twitch money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're like, oh man, I earned like $10,000 in Twitch this year. Let me blow it all on, you know, whatever. And then, you know, because maybe it's like a supplemental income thing.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, they're like, and the government's like, give me $2,000. And they're like, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Maybe I shouldn't have bought that second NVIDIA video card.
Right.
Maybe I didn't need two Titans.
Right. Maybe I didn't need that $500 game collector's edition action figure or something, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, taxes are dumb. But I'm getting a refund, so that's exciting. So the big news this week is you finally, after 3 weeks of telling me you would see this movie, saw...
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast. So now we're going to do a segment we haven't done yet. It's going to be the Bat Snacks Review, which you have to come up with a sound effect quickly for on the spot for that.
Choo-choo! Bat Snacks Review!
Da-da-na, da-da-na. That's Sports Center, but that's fine. Yeah, so let's do it. What do you got?
Anyway, it was really good.
Really good?
It was really good.
Really? Wow. So you really, really liked it.
I really enjoyed it. The animations were not as awkward as we thought they would be.
Mm, that's good.
I was not uncomfortable at any point because of the CGI. Yeah.
That's impressive. Did it feel like Emma Watson, like, acted well with the CGI creatures?
Oh, she was great. Yeah. Okay. She was really good, and she was so pretty in all of her, like, Beauty and the Beast, dresses, you know, classical attire.
Sure.
Like, the yellow dress was super good.
Sure. Because my biggest concern was seeing The Jungle Book, which was a nice-looking movie, but the kid just did not act, like, he wasn't a good enough actor to keep up with, like, the CG creatures, essentially.
Yeah.
So I was, like, worried that Beauty and the Beast would suffer from that, but I guess Emma Watson's a good actress.
Emma Watson is a really good actress.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, all the costumes were super good. The music was good. There was, they did a really funny thing with, you know, Gaston's friend that sings the song about him in the tavern?
It's yeah, like, yeah, he's, know, like, in love
Gaston
with him or whatever.
Gaston is the best and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, in this version, that guy is gay and, like, has a crush on Gaston. And it's, like, really funny and kind of cute.
So it's basically what he was in the animated movie, but
yeah,
just,
but
it's just more obvious.
It, like, yeah, it shows him, like, kind of, you know, fantasizing. Yeah. And
sure. That's funny.
Yeah, and I read, you know, that's the first gay scene in any Disney movie ever, so that's a big deal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hmm. I guess Disney was late to the party because they, you know, they try to keep a traditional... Yeah. They try to be neutral on everything, basically.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. Cool.
This movie was a lot scarier than the original one. The scene with the wolves attacking the beast, and, you know, the mob lynch scenes were, you know, sort of intense.
More frightening.
Yeah, more frightening.
Because
they were scary in the cartoon, but
I mean, yeah, they were, but yeah, in this live one, action it would turn
yeah,
it up,
it was like,
crank
whoa.
It up.
Yeah.
How was Gaston? He's my favorite character.
Gaston was great.
Good.
He was Gaston. Like,
yeah.
I believed he was Gaston.
So the thing about the character Gaston, I feel like, because I've seen Beauty and the Beast, the movie, and then I've seen it, like, you know, they had it, like, on Broadway for a while.
Yeah, and they have it on Ice.
They have it on Ice. They have it on everything. Everything it could be on, they have it on. Broadway, Ice, you know, when we go to the moon, they'll have it on the moon.
Yes.
You know, Beauty and the Beast on the moon, whatever. But every time I see that, when I watch it, like, the person that's playing Gaston is, you know, obviously overacting a lot, which is part of the character.
Yeah.
But, like, every time I watch it, I'm like, if I was an actor, I would want to be this character. Because it just seems like, I don't know, it just seems like one of those characters that's, like, really fun to play.
Yeah, he's,
because they're
he's
so
like
ridiculous.
The star of any Beauty and the Beast performance.
Yeah, he really is.
You're more excited to see Gaston than pretty much any other character.
It's just so over the top and so ridiculous. It's just really fun. So I'm glad he's good in the movie. I might have to... Probably won't see it in theaters, but I'll probably rent it when it comes out.
Yeah, you would enjoy it. What was I going to say? I forgot. Anyway, in the final scene where all of the silverware and everybody turns back into a human was really good. That was really well done.
Like, the VFX was good?
Yeah, and the music was good, and...
Was it basically arrangements of the old music, essentially?
Yeah.
Cool. Exciting. How was
good
the beast?
Stuff. He was the beast.
Yeah, but did he look good?
He looked like a beast. He was very he was very savage and had bad manners and had good. A bad temper.
Did the plot stay basically the same, like with the rose and all that stuff?
Yeah, it's the same movie.
Okay. I was just curious. It's the same movie, just live action with Emma Watson and a CG beast.
Yes.
Cool. Was the I was gonna say Tupperware, but like what the hell is the lamp's name? I always forget its name.
Lumiere.
Lumiere. Was he good in it? Because he was.
Yeah, Lumiere was good. Clocksworth was good.
Yeah.
Miss Potts.
And then the little kid Potts.
The little little cup. I forgot his name.
I don't know. It's like Timmy or something.
I don't think his name was Timmy, but
it's always Timmy. That's always the boy's name in like anything. Timmy! So, Beauty and the Beast is good. So, we're coming to the final part of your review. What would you give it out of 5 stars, Roger Ebert?
As a live-action Beauty and the Beast movie, rating it as that concept, it was a 5 out of 5.
Wow! That's a glowing review.
It's as good as a live-action Beauty and the Beast could have been.
Okay. I don't know if that's... All right, yeah, I'm not going to disagree. That's fine.
That's a con. No, that's a compliment.
No, no, yeah, it is. Sure. All right, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I probably won't give it that score when I see it, but I'm glad that you liked it a lot. That's good. Okay. There was... I think you had another thing you wanted to talk about, like a show coming out soon or something like that.
There's... I don't know if you'd call it science fiction, but there's a show coming out April 30th called American Gods. It's based off of the weird novel. I don't know if you could call it science fiction. It's just the novel by Neil Gaiman. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be super good. The basic concept is that the old gods from the old world, like Odin and Buddha and all of those guys. They come over to America. And since nobody pays tribute to them anymore in America, they're very weak. And the new American gods, such as the media and, like, the internet, and they have...
And Kim Kardashian. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I think she's part of the media, but they have names, and they're personified as these... they have, like, human avatars.
Okay.
And sure. There's a war between the old gods and the new gods, and that's the basic plot of the movie.
Interesting.
And it centers around the main character, whose name is Shadow, which is a really cool name for a main character. He travels around with Mr. Wednesday, who you will learn is actually a god, and they go around and they're con men, and they travel around all of these, like, worn-down American places, and there are these explanations that, you know, like, the roadside attractions, like, mm-hmm. the world's biggest bottle tower.
Ball of twine or whatever.
Yeah, the book argues that those are the most magical places in America because there's no reason for them to exist where they do. Like, out in the middle of Wisconsin, what possessed a man to make a ball of twine that's as big as a building?
Right.
And it, like, Gaiman argues that it's because there are magical forces out there.
Oh, interesting.
And that it makes people do these crazy weird things.
Kind of like a Field of Dreams kind of situation.
Yes, you build it, they will come.
Yeah. Cool. That
sounds so the book is just, it's a big road trip mystery war between gods novel.
So it sounds like the war between gods is kind of like the background story.
Yeah, I mean, the main plot is just you follow Shadow around and he's just gotten out of prison and his life is turned upside down.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I like that. That sounds like a cool, like, background story. I like the fact that the actual plot sounds like more of like a intimate between a few characters thing. That sounds cool to me.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to do such a big story like War Between Gods. You can't really write a book about that.
Unless
you're going like the Bible or the Iliad or
something. Yeah, or something really epic. But that's really hard to pull off, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of problem with, like, really high concept stuff these days is when they do that. It's like they, like, want to show, like, the, like, really big stuff, like, as the focus. And it's really hard to write that stuff believably. Mm-hmm. And it's not intimate. You don't know the characters at all. And so it's like, this is kind of dumb.
It's just kind of boring and dumb.
Yeah. It's just like, this is really stupid. But if it's like a backdrop, then it's like a cool, like, ooh, it's mysterious. Why are they fighting each other? And like, you know, all this stuff's happening. Like,
you kind of have the same perspective as Shadow because he doesn't really know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
It gives you something to identify
with. It's kind of like War of the Worlds, the Steven Spielberg film.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's in the, you know, there's like a huge war going on, but like it's all being perceived by this like small family that's just like traveling around, you know?
Yeah.
So like I like that perspective with like films and like books and stuff because it makes everything more interesting. Like, it can touch on these cool subjects, but it can also, like, have characters that you actually care about, so.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the TV show because we're going to get to see Odin and Buddha and leprechauns, and we're going to get to see the god of media, and...
I wonder what he'll look like today.
I don't know, that's what I'm excited about, though. Yeah.
I know the book came out, like, you know, more than 10 years ago, so maybe... Yeah. Do you think they'll update it with, like, current, you know, media, you know what I mean? Current media stuff?
They could. They don't really go into specifics in the book, like what, you know, Mr. Media does and all that.
Yeah.
So they could do that.
Just curious. Anyway, so this is on Showtime, right?
I think it's going to be on Stars.
Oh, Stars.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that channel.
Yeah. Yeah, neither do I.
We'll find a way, I guess.
Neil Gaiman is really cool, though. I think he's one of the coolest, like, living actors right now. Because he did Coraline, too.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, he wrote the graphic novel for that, yeah.
Yeah, and he...
That movie's really good, too.
Yeah, that was a good movie. He has a nonfiction book out on Norse mythology, which is neat. Cool.
I love Norse mythology. Neil Gaiman's like a writer that I've always thought I would be interested in, but I've never like read anything by him because I don't know, I didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I think like 10 years ago or something, or maybe even more, you convinced me to get American Gods.
And yeah, I think like, you have a copy sitting on your bookshelf.
I definitely
somewhere.
Have a copy. And I just never read it. I don't know why. Like, it's just, you know, one of those books you just... No, it's not one of those. But, you know, you buy a book and you're like, I'll read it eventually, and you just never get around to it. And it's just one of those kind of things. But yeah, I think Neil Gaiman is one of those authors that, like, sounds really cool. I just never, you know, gave it a fair shake.
Yeah. If you're ever... If you're on a plane anytime soon, it's a good plane novel.
I will do that, yeah. That's where I'm, like, it's sad because most of my reading these days is done on planes and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll get through, like, a whole novel on, like, a plane. Like, yeah. I read The Martian, like, completely on a plane ride.
That book was so good.
It was so good. But, like, I mean, that's, like, the extent of my reading these days because just, like, I don't have the time anymore. Or I do have the time, but I don't feel like reading when I get home from work. I feel like, you know, doing nothing. But yeah, I will try the Neil Gaiman plane ride novel next.
For The Martian, I rented the audiobook from the public library and listened to it on my car, in my car to work every day, and finished it after like a month. And the audiobook was really good because the voice actor was amazing, and you got this kind of, like, theater performance with the novel.
Because in the novel, he's, like, it's like a first-person thing.
Yeah,
so,
it's all, like, internal monologue
That's
stuff.
That's interesting. That's cool. Yeah, I need to do the audiobook thing, because, like, I think listening to, like, a chapter in my drive to, like, work and back would be... I could get out some... I could, like, you know, do some novels there.
Yeah, it'd be good. Beats the radio.
Yeah, it definitely does. Anyway, I don't know. I need to get into Neil Gaiman, I guess. I never got into it. It's just one of those things that, you know how it is.
If you want to read one of his books, American Gods is pretty good, and it's easy to get into.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. I'll do that.
So I have an animal news story, too.
Oh, do you? Yes. I want to talk about one other movie thing.
Let's do it.
The two big movies I'm excited for this year are Blade Runner and the Alien sequel. Blade Runner 2049 and the Alien Covenant. Have you heard about either of those yet? I mean, they released a teaser of Alien Covenant recently.
I haven't seen the teaser.
They released a teaser of Blade Runner recently and a trailer of Alien Covenant recently.
So. All I've seen for either movie is that Ryan Gosling is going to be the star in the new Blade Runner.
But Harrison Ford is in it as well.
Yes.
Which is
that's all I know about either.
Weird and good, because I like Harrison Ford and I like Ryan Gosling, so we'll see. And I like the director who does it too. So
who is?
Denis Villeneuve. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He did Prisoners, he did Arrival, he did Sicario. What else? Yeah. Have you seen any of those? No, maybe not.
I don't think so, actually. Right. I've heard of him.
He's a good director. So it should be good. And then Alien Covenant is directed by Ridley Scott, who...
Ooh, he hasn't done a movie in a while, has he?
No, but he's really old now, so you kind of worry that, like, does he know what he's doing still? I don't know.
Are they just like, okay, Ridley, you can... I mean, Alien's pretty much dead. You can have
it. Yeah, like, you could just do... You can have another go. And he's like, wow, get this... like, crank those cameras. And they're like, Ridley, it's not done that way anymore. It's all digital. It's like, crank them. I need
to
see...
You gotta crank them.
I need the scene
like,
to
he
be
goes over the camera and he's like, you gotta crank them this way.
I need the scene to be in reverse, so crank it backwards. Oh, God. I mean, he's like 80-something now. Like, seriously, he's really old. So I don't know, like, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I like Alien a lot. It's, like, one of my favorite movies. And I like the sequels less, but, you know, I still like them, I guess. But then, I don't know. We'll see about... I don't know. Yeah. We'll see about...
I really liked the sequels. I didn't like Prometheus that much.
I liked Aliens, and then... Oh, I forgot. You're one of the Alien...
I'm one of the people that likes
Alien 3. You're one of the apologists of Alien 3. I forgot about that.
Okay. I don't know if we've talked about this on this show.
We have not, but we can bring it up.
I really like Alien 3. I think Sigourney Weaver couldn't have done better.
Oh, she did a good job.
She did fantastic.
The problem was it was, like, poorly written and
directed. The problem is that when you can't put Winona Ryder next to Ellen Ripley. I mean, no. Sigourney is such a good actress that anything Winona tries to do is going to look bad and weird.
Yeah. To be fair to Winona Ryder, she's a good actress, but she was
I really like her.
She was still, like, young and not, like,
super... She looked like a 14-year-old
in the movie. She was still starting her acting career back then, like...
Yeah. She had no business being with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. It was not good.
Yeah.
I'll have to rewatch it one of these days, because, like, it's been a while since I've seen Alien 3.
Rewatch it. It's actually really good.
All I remember about it is being disappointed, and there's a dog alien in it. That's basically all I remember about it. And there's a lot of criminals, right? Yeah, that's the criminal one. Yeah. That's the prison colony one, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And then 4, I feel like the Alien movies get weirder and weirder in a bad way as they progress. So 3 is the prison colony one with the dog aliens. And then 4, Resurrection, is the one where Ripley's dead, but then she gets resurrected like 200 years later or something. And she's on like a space station, right?
I'm not remembering 4 right now.
4 is really
bad. Which is bad.
4 is like really, really bad. which is the one where she's like... Next. Which is the one where she shaves her head? Is that 3?
I think that might be 4. I don't remember head shaving in 3.
Okay.
Maybe she did. I don't know.
I don't remember. I feel like that might be 3. It doesn't matter. They're all bad after Aliens.
they're not bad.
They're okay. I will watch Alien 3 and I will report back next week on how it is, how it holds up.
They're not perfect movies. They have flaws.
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But we'll see about Alien Covenant. I don't know. I'm tentatively excited about it.
Same.
Like, it might be good. Like, Ridley Scott, like, is a super hit or miss director these days because he's so old. But I don't know. You never know. It could just be, like, his name's on it and some other person is directing it. You know, he's, like, 82 and he's just like, do that scene. And then they're like, okay. And then some other guy's like, all right, I'll be directing this portion of the movie or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Do you know if they're going to get Sigourney Weaver back?
I don't think so.
I wish they would.
That would be cool if she had, like, a cameo or something.
Yeah, I wish they would.
But I think it's a prequel, although it doesn't make that clear by the trailer at all.
So, yeah.
It's hard to say.
Did you like Prometheus?
Yes, but, I mean, why? I didn't love it or anything.
Oh, I thought it was so bad.
I thought it was... I mean, if it wasn't... I thought it was good as a sci-fi movie... And not good as, you know what I mean?
A movie?
No. I liked the first half of it a lot. Like, I liked the android, and I like the planet, and then it kind of becomes like an action movie at the end, which is not, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't really care for that as much.
It had some scenes that were, I think, were unforgivable.
Yeah, it definitely had its share of...
They land on the planet, and their director of science walks into the building, takes off his helmet, and just, that's some fresh air. Then he walks over to the alien popped out of the egg that looks like a cobra, and he's just like, hey, little guy, and he's, like, poking at it.
That totally killed
my suspension of disbelief.
You're just like, I can't handle this anymore.
Just like, no, he didn't. That's not their science officer.
Maybe he was like, he lied on his resume or something. Like, yeah, I went to Yale for science with a capital S. And they're like, you're hired. And he's like,
a doctorate in laser algebra
and quantum biology something. And they're like, wow, we need a quantum biologist and laser algebraist on this mission. So you're hired. And he's like, all right. And then he's the chief science officer. I mean, maybe. You know, Weyland-Yutani Corporation or whatever, they're known to be, like, cheap and unethical. So maybe they did hire them to do that.
Yeah. Huh? There were a lot of scenes like that.
Yeah, they were. Anyway, so we'll see about Alien Covenant. I don't know. I'm not holding my breath, but I'm excited. We'll see. Blade Runner I'm really excited for, but I have no idea what it's about yet, so.
I don't know what they're going to do with that.
I don't either.
I hope they have the animals in it this time, though.
I hope they do, too. For those of you that don't know, the Blade Runner is based on Android's Dream of Electric Sheep, which is a really, really good book. You should read it immediately because it's, like, one of my favorite books. And the Blade Runner film is really good, too. But being a film, they had to cut out a lot of stuff from the book. And one of those things is this whole weird animal pet subplot that sounds very normal when I'm talking about it, but it's very strange.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So. Basically, it's that owning a pet in the future is seen as a symbol of status.
Yeah.
And if you can't afford a pet, some people buy android pets.
Fake pets. Yeah.
That look like pets.
Right.
And the main character gets an electronic sheep because he wants to be seen in a positive light by his peers.
Which makes the title so much cooler because it's, like, about the android dreaming of an electric sheep to, like, own as, like, a pet, but also as, like, dreaming of counting sheep to fall asleep.
I don't know.
It's just, like, it's a really good title.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of animals, why don't we get into your... Animal news story.
Animal news story.
Do, do, do. Animal news. Sorry, go ahead.
So this is from oneindia.com, India's number one language portal.
Wow. That's exciting.
The article is, the headline is, Real Life Mowgli. Girl found living with monkeys in the forest.
I heard about this.
So, there's a forest in Katarnagat in Bharach who cannot speak or behave like a human being. She was rescued from monkeys in the forest.
Wait, didn't we talk about this last week? I feel like we talked about this last week.
Last week, there was a man that drank voodoo juice in the monkey forest.
So, we have two monkey forest stories.
Yeah, back-to-back episodes
back-to-back.
Of monkey
forest. Okay, so hold on. We didn't talk about this last week.
No.
So this is a separate person in the jungle rescued by monkey story.
She wasn't really rescued. I think she was...
She just lived with them?
She was just left in the jungle, and the monkeys kind of raised her or something.
Whoa, that's wild. So it's like really like the Jungle Book.
Yeah, it doesn't say how long she was in there, but she said that she... It says that she doesn't behave like a human being. She walks on all fours, and she screeches at humans.
How old?
Is afraid of them.
How old is she?
She looks like she's about 5 or 6 years old.
Wow. So someone probably left her there, and she, like...
Got raised
by monkeys or, like, wolves or something. That's frightening.
Yeah, that's something I heard a lot of, like, growing up. There were a lot of stories about what would happen if a human was raised by wolves or
that's
something
like
that.
That's like an urban legend,
yeah.
Right? You know, it's never, like, a real thing. It's like, oh, what would happen if you were, you know... And it was like, oh, that doesn't happen. But I guess it does in India. They just, like, put their children, like... They dump them in the forest or the jungle, and then they get raised by monkeys. Acclimating to society would be almost impossible, I feel like, after you got raised by monkeys.
It wouldn't be. You'd need some therapy.
Although, if you're 5, I think you're still... Maybe you're still ripe to, like, acclimate to society. But, like, if you got past, like, 8 or 9, you know, that's it.
There's no hope for you.
You're an animal forever.
At that point, would it be unethical to remove you from the monkey jungle?
I think so, yes. That's actually a really good question. Would it be unethical to take you from your monkey home? I think, it would be. Because, like, you're basically removing an animal from their natural habitat against their will.
So that means that humans are animals.
Well, yeah, of course they're animals. You don't agree?
I don't agree with that? But they're not like a monkey. Are they?
No, but I mean, this is a really interesting ethical question now that I think about it. Because, like, what is the right thing to do if a child is raised by animals And they obviously don't want to leave because they're hissing at you. You know what I mean? Like, they obviously are cool with being with their aunt, with their friends. Is it ethical to remove them and try to integrate them into regular society?
I think they did the right thing with this girl because she doesn't look that old. But, like you said, after a certain age...
After a certain age, you're never going to integrate into society. Ever. Like, you'll... A little bit, maybe, but you'll always have, like... You know, because your brain is, like, moldable from a certain age. Like, I think it's, like... Like, 0 to 6 or something is, like, the most, you know what I mean? And once after that, like, you can still learn... You still learn a lot, but, like, you don't have the plasticity anymore to, like, really readapt and reacquaint. I'm not a child psychologist or anything, so they'd probably be better at... But I feel like there's definitely a point at which, if you pass it, it's a lot harder to, like, relearn things as a child, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. It would be, once you're past that point, is it ethical to take a child out of the jungle? I don't know. That's hard. That's a really hard call.
So, this might be weird, but doesn't that get a little complicated down the line for the child in the jungle?
How so?
Like, as far as, you know, the living experience coming into maybe sexual maturity.
Well, you know, you with just the gotta, monkeys. They're just going to have to figure that out as they go along, I guess. Like, you know, it's like in the Jungle Book. There's like, Mowgli's like, why am I different or whatever? And they're like, well, you're a human. You're a man cub.
I don't think the monkeys would be able to tell the Mowgli.
That's true. That's true. He would just, he or she would just have to figure it out on their own.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this isn't going to work. We could get more into this topic, but I don't know if I really want to.
Yeah, so that's the animal news story for the day.
We could talk about this for a lot longer, but I'm going to pass on it.
Yeah. I'm glad they saved the girl from the jungle.
Yes, me too. I was just saying, hypothetically, if like they find like a teenager or something, like, I don't know, it might be weird to just be like, oh, you have to come with us now, even though you've spent your whole life in the jungle, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. That's a hard call. Like, because you're basically forcing your will on this person that, you know, obviously they don't know any better, so life might be better if you take them out, but... You know, at the same time, like, they're not making that decision, so...
Yeah.
It's hard. Okay, are you ready for something dumb now that we've, like, morbidly covered, like, this terrible scenario where animal or kids are raised by monkeys?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to start with a Reddit question.
Okay.
That's really... It's a pretty simple one. So, aside from driving, which is the most obvious... what is the most dangerous, ordinary, everyday activity that you do on a daily or weekly basis? Got anything?
Maybe eating out.
Eating food?
Yeah.
Why eating out specifically?
Well, because in your home, you kind of know that stuff is prepared okay.
You know what's going on in your pot and pan or whatever.
Yeah, if you're eating out, I mean... There are amoebas and pathogens that could just kill you.
And they could poison you?
Yeah.
That's true. Eating. I never thought about that. I eat out, like, all the time.
Yeah, so do I.
Because I'm really lazy.
Same.
But also it's convenient. But
And it's good.
And it's good. It's good. And you don't have to do, and you don't have to do anything. And there's the millions of lists of reasons why. Yeah, I guess it is dangerous, though. I never really thought about it. I mean, it is... I thought about, you know, you can get sick, but...
I think it's probably pretty safe these days, but still stuff happens to people. Maybe that isn't the most dangerous one.
I don't think that's the most dangerous. I think it's, like, shaving or something.
Yeah, you know? Shaving.
Right? Like, that's very... Like, just the act is really dangerous, and we do that every, like... Well, some people do it every day, and some people don't, but... Yeah. A lot of people do it every single day, you know? It's like...
I've never had a bad accident shaving, though.
I mean, I've nicked myself
before. Yeah, same.
But I think everyone has.
I've never been like, whoa, that was a close call.
Whoops! And you're like, now I need to go to the hospital. No, I've never had that.
There are still people, though, that use those like safety razors and
I
stuff
know.
Like that.
That's...
Like, why would you do
so
that?
So, the... Well, a lot of people think you get, like, a better shave that way. I'm not defending it.
Okay.
But people say, like, you get a lot better, like, closer shave with the safety razor.
Sure.
You know? Which I guess makes sense you're getting a closer shave because, like, it can murder you. So, yes, you can, like, cut a lot closer to your skin. But at the same time, like, yeah, it's probably...
I think people that do that are ridiculous.
People swear by it. I've, like, like, you were talking about going on Reddit to, like, look at questions. There's, like, a whole subreddit devoted to people who are obsessed with that stuff.
There is on every forum. And you know what? I think most of them are just role-playing.
They're pretending that it's, like, really good or something. Safety razor, man. It's the way to go. The other weird thing about safety razors is they're really expensive. Like, you'd think they'd be cheaper because it's one blade. But they're, like, they're expensive, you know?
The razor itself is really expensive, but the replacement razors are cheap because it's really just like a hardware store razor.
That's what I want to be shaving with. A hardware store razor.
It's basically what you would buy at Ace Hardware.
I was about to say, like, you go into Ace and you're like, my beard is growing a little. Like, what kind of razor blade would you recommend on this one? And they're like, that'll be the A5 aisle 7 right next to lawnmower blades or something. So, like, the razor, like, the holster is expensive, but, like, the blades are actually cheap. Okay, well, maybe that's what it is. Like,
so yeah, my understanding is that it also takes a really long time, because if you try to rush, you will just kill yourself.
You will die, yeah.
It takes, like, 30 minutes to shave.
See, who has the time for that? I don't understand why anyone would like this invention. Like, well, obviously it's old. It's an old invention, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a thing that people are like, oh, it's like vinyl, but not good. Like,
except there's no benefit.
Right. It's like vinyl, but there's no benefit going back. It's like, we moved on 30 years ago, but let's just, for the sake of being cool, let's go back in time.
Yeah, like, it takes me 60 seconds to shave with a modern razor and shaving cream that I get out,
like,
of a can.
Do you use the Gillette, like, Quantum or whatever the hell?
Yeah, whatever has the most, you know, outrageous Quantum X, Fizz X.
The best thing about razors is their names these days, I think. Like, they have the best, like, the Gillette Quantum X.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have the Gillette Mach 3 Turbo. That's the actual name of my razor.
I think I have the same one.
I just, like, think about that, like, name.
Like, what is this, a race car or something? Like, why is it named Mach 3? I feel like in a couple of years, they're gonna run out of, like, weird sci-fi, like, naming conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna have to go, like, a different route with it, maybe. I don't know.
They could go for simpler, like, single one, like, cool-sounding one-word razors. Kind of like how they do with cars.
Oh, because, like, back in, like, the 90s, 2000s, they went with, like, ooh, this sounds high-tech and futuristic. But now they're, like, going more, like, elegant and stylish names. So it'd be, like, the Gillette A. You know?
No. Like, the Gillette...
ZX.
I'm thinking of, like, a really cool, short-sounding word.
The Gillette Sharp.
Yeah, that's simple.
Elegant. If it was like silver font.
If I had the choice between the Mach 3 Turbo and the Gillette Sharp.
What if you had the choice between the Gillette Quantum Fusion Quadro versus the Sharp?
I'm going with the Sharp.
That is like a razor, like Quantum Fusion, like something. Like,
yeah, that's their most quadro. That's the orange one, I think.
Yes, it's like Quantum Fusion Quadro, and it's like an orange handle, and it's got like blue, like, racing stripes on it or something like that.
Powered by nuclear fusion.
And they have like ones that you like put a battery in. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Right,
no. I have a funny story about this. I accidentally bought one of those once.
What do you even do with the battery?
I didn't know that it had that feature. I thought I was just buying a razor. But to my surprise, it came with batteries. And all, like, it did, all it did is vibrate and make it harder to shave.
It just makes it worse to shave.
Like, no, it really just made it vibrate. It did nothing.
Like, what's the point?
It was harder to shave.
Well, of course it is just vibrating against your face while you're trying to shave. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
And then the inside of the battery rusted because...
Yes, because there's water all over it because you're rinsing it. Because, like, shaving. Who designed the battery thing? Like, it makes sense on, like, you know, the battery-powered ones with, like, a cell battery. Because those are, like, enclosed and, like, you know...
No, it still doesn't make sense. A razor shouldn't vibrate. It doesn't do anything. Like,
I'm talking about the ones that, like, you know, the brrr ones, you know, that you can, like, use, that people use in traffic or whatever.
Oh, those, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, a razor should not vibrate.
No, this was like, it had razor blades.
No, I got it. It's like a Gillette Mach 3 with a vibrating head.
With a vibrator.
Yes. Like, I don't get it. I don't know. Razors are weird.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, the razor rental service. Have you seen that thing?
What?
You haven't heard of that thing?
No.
It's like, I don't remember what it's called, but you can, like, rent razors for, like, $5 a month or something, and they send you a razor, like a Gillette Mach 3 or whatever, and then you shave with it, and then you, when you're done, you send it back, and then they send you a new one, like, every month, so you, like, don't have to rebuy blades or something, but, like, I don't know. I don't really understand that.
It's similar to that HP print cartridge program.
Yeah, kind of.
For razors.
For razors, yeah. It's really weird. I don't understand how people make money off of that.
And then they mail your used razor to...
I guess.
To, like, Indonesia. And
they use it and they're like, thanks for the razor.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't either. Razors are weird, though. Yeah, I don't know. It's strange because, like, you got the safety razors, which is, like, the most simplistic design that's, like, literally, like, 80 years old.
Yeah.
And then you got the new ones, and they have, like, a good thing going when they figured the three-blade thing out, and, like, it works good, and then they're just trying to advance that, but, like, they have nowhere to go, so, like, let's add another blade, and let's make it vibrate, and let's make it, like, light up and stuff, and, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like super simplistic and then, like, really, like, too advanced for its own good kind of thing.
It's just features to be features.
Yeah, like, let's just leave it at the three blade. Like, that works well.
Yeah, it works fine for me.
It works fine. Like, let's just keep it there. But yeah, people insist on the safety razor thing. I don't know. I don't get it. What I don't understand about safety razor is, why is it called a safety razor?
It's not safe. Because... I know. I think the reason is that in the 20s, that was safer than using just a knife.
Right, because they used to, like, use, like, a razor blade and, like, one of those, like, Sweeney Todd-like things, right? Like, it's, like, basically just a big knife.
It's basically a knife.
And you're, like, cutting someone's hair off with, like, the edge of your knife, you know? And you need, like, a professional barber in order to, like, not murder you, essentially. So
I'll give it to them that they're safer than that, but...
Well, yeah, I would hope so.
You kind of can't accidentally kill yourself with a modern razor.
Oh, with, like, a fusion or Mach 3?
Yeah, I mean, you can mess up your face pretty bad.
Yeah, but you're
not going to die.
No, because they have, like, guides and stuff. But the other one, you definitely could.
Yes.
Oh, that's scary. I don't like... Oh, razors are freaky.
Like, why do we shave every day?
I don't know.
Scrape razor sharp knives over
our
face.
It's kind of a weird thing if you think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Beards look fine most of the time. Who knows?
I think maybe the reason we have to shave is that one person that just doesn't look good with a beard.
Like, you don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So you're like, well,
like, because of that guy, now everybody has to shave.
He's ruined it for everyone in the world. Are you ready for another one?
I'm ready.
Or unless you have one.
No, I don't have any.
Okay. You have none? No, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you could make anything into a sport, what would it be? I know that's hard.
That is hard.
Pick something that you... Maybe you don't necessarily enjoy doing, but... I mean, you can enjoy it, but, like, something you enjoy watching people do that's somewhat competitive, that would be a good sport. I have, like, a dumb one.
What's yours?
Like, hailing a cab or something, right?
That would be pretty good.
Although, nobody uses cab... Oh, not nobody, but, like, they're not used anymore as much.
That's part of the competitive aspect.
It's an old thing. Nobody does it anymore. That'd be funny, like, in the future, there are no cabs. Everything's, like, Uber, but, like, competitive cab hailing is still, like... It's, like, part of the old world that carried over.
Yeah, they have to, like, they have to do special exercises for their arms to make them super visible.
And they have to, like, practice whistling and stuff like that. They corner off, like three or four city blocks of New York, and then they just have cabs just drive really fast, like, through those. And then the people, like, are on all the sides, and they, like, you know, they go out there and they try to wave them down. And then the other thing is, like, if they go out too far into the street, they can get run over. So yeah. It's kind of like running of the bulls kind of thing. Like, you kind of do it at your own risk.
Yeah.
You know, but
it's a dangerous sport.
The reward, if you chance it, is, you know, you'll get into a cab. And then maybe the cab driver becomes, like, your ally at that point. You know what I mean?
You're like on a team.
Yeah, but, like, he's not on your team until you get into his cab, and then you become a team. And then you have to, like, race the other cab drivers.
Oh, it's like in the movie where it's like, keep going, follow that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So at the beginning, it's like a Jack Russell race. They have a car
yes.
speed through,
yes.
and then you have to hail a cab, and the first person to catch up...
yeah. Gets... Wins. First person to catch up to what? The first
the, the leading car that everybody's chasing.
The leader car. Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, it's like Lethal Weapon, except...
What? What part of Lethal Weapon are you talking
There are a lot
about?
Of scenes like that.
Oh, where they hail a cab and they're like, follow that guy or whatever. Yeah. It's like that, but real.
Yeah.
In real. They would have to, section a lot of New York off for that, but that'd be fine. This would be in the future when New York is, like, not a city anymore.
Yeah. It's mostly hover cars.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's all built up, so it's, like Fifth Element, like, it's all hover cars, and then on the bottom is just, like, a big, like, amusement park slash, you know, like, casino slash competitive...
Taxi
racing or whatever. And then, like, but no one goes down there because it's, like, really shady and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? We don't go down to that part anymore. The old world or whatever.
How about this for a sport?
Wait.
Competitive safety razor shaving.
I love the sports that are, like, really high risk or whatever.
Yeah. So the sport is whoever can shave the most people.
Oh, in a shit. Minute. I thought it was shaving you.
No, you shave
oh,
other
no,
people.
Oh, no, that's horrible, though, but because, like, what if you don't, like, care? What if you're, like, a sociopath?
Part of the sport, there's a judge, and it mm-hmm. judges the quality of the shave.
So, like, if you kill someone, you're automatically disqualified.
Yeah, that's you get a penalty for that.
Oh, you murdered that guy. Here's a red card or whatever.
There's a ref and he blows his whistle and he's like... He makes, like, the hand gesture and he's like, nope.
He makes the slit throat hand gesture and he's like, penalty!
Checks his pulse and he's like, nope, this guy's definitely dead. That's
like,
a penalty.
Yeah, penalty on the play. Illegal murdering. illegal manslaughter. And then, yeah, that's like one card. And then if you do it again, then you're ejected from the game. But yeah, like,
once isn't good enough.
Right. I mean, it's like soccer rules. Like, if you do two infractions, then you're out. But, like, if you nick someone, then, like, the judges say, like, oh, that's not as good of a shave or whatever. So you're trying to shave as many people as possible, like, highest quality as possible?
You have to shave maybe 10 people, mm-hmm. and it's also about the quality.
It's a timed thing too, though, right?
Yeah, it's a timed thing.
So like, if we were going against each other, would we be doing it at the same time?
I think it would be more exciting. Yeah, if it was
we're literally face to face.
Yeah,
I mean not face to face, but like, I'm over here with my 10 guys.
Yeah. My 10 guys are facing your 10 guys.
And then we're like, and then like every once in a while you like look up from, you know, the guy you're shaving. And we make eye contact. We're like, oh.
You're like, oh no, I need to speed up.
Right. Or like, oh, he's using the around the neck strategy or something. Like there's like special maneuvers and stuff.
He's using the Orient Express maneuver.
Like, oh, he's taking a shortcut or whatever. That's like dangerous. It's like more risky, like for blood loss or whatever. But it's like, well, he's down to the wire. You better take that shortcut or whatever. I'd watch that. So you'd use a safety razor. What if you could pick what kind of razor you wanted to use?
Ooh.
Ooh.
So this competitor uses the Schick.
Hydro.
Double edge hydro.
It's like sponsorships.
Yeah.
It's like golfers with like, you know, Titleist like sponsorships or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Or some guy could like use like a straight razor.
Yeah, that's a separate competition where they use the straight razor.
Right, because that's like, that's just unfair.
Yeah.
Like you could shave really fast with that if you're good. Right.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. If I turned on to ESPN and I saw competitive shaving,
I would watch the hell out of that.
I would watch the heck out of that.
I would make popcorn and I would be set for that afternoon.
Yeah, it's like my day is done.
I'm ready.
This is what I'm doing today.
Yep. Watching competitive shaving. I would watch that. I would marathon that. It'd probably be one of those ESPN shows that, like, they have it on all day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they need some filler, and, like, also, it probably takes a really long time to get through all the competitors. Because then they can only do, like, two at a time. So it's like the X Games, you know? It's like snowboarding or whatever. It's like, you go through, like, 50 people, you know?
They need to have announcers that all have, like, really cool beards.
Oh, I like that. Like, nice, really nice beards.
Yeah.
And they know all, like, they know the history of shaving and, like, barbering.
Yeah, all the best maneuvers and...
Oh, that was the swan maneuver was invented by Giuseppe Morto.
I like that his name's Giuseppe. That's such a competitive shaver name.
Giuseppe, oh yeah, like Giuseppe G.
Giuseppe Lombard.
Lombard. He's like half French and half Italian. Giuseppe Lombard, he's like the Arnold Palmer of the he's like the first like really good, really really good, you know,
shaver.
He made the sport popular, you know, he popularized
it. He has a Salvador Dali mustache. That's how I'm picturing him.
Me too. Yeah, I don't know why I pictured him with like a weird mustache as well. Giuseppe Lombard, and he's in the straight razor category, though, right?
Obviously. Oh, yeah.
Like, he probably, like, later in his career, he probably, like, switched over just to see what it was like.
Yeah.
The safety razor, but it's just, like, he just didn't do. Like, he's too old school for that.
Yeah, Giuseppe Lombard is, he's all about...
the straight razor.
The straight razor.
He probably has a really cool technique with, like, the, because you got to get all the shaving cream off too. That's important.
Yeah, and part of it is making the shaving cream. You know, they have the brush.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. You have to like stir it up or whatever.
Yeah,
and then they like paint it on their face or whatever.
You have to like hit the cup a certain way on the table and like use really advanced hand motions.
And that's part of the judge too, like how elegant you're making.
Oh yeah, like flair.
And like form. And then like the noise it makes when you tap it. It's like, ooh, that was it's like, ooh, that was pleasant.
Oh, and you know the part where they have the leather strap and they have to do the
they
rub
have to
on
like
it?
The rub it. I don't know what's that for. I don't know what that's
I don't know
for.
What that I don't know what that does, but
but it's important. It's an important part of the process. They need to hit all those like shaving steps or whatever.
Have you ever had a straight razor shave?
No, have you?
I have once. I had my head straight razor shaved.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it interesting?
It was great.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. I didn't let him go near my neck, but
yeah,
because your head, scared. I was like, what's the worst they can do?
Yeah, I mean, worst they could do is like nick up your head. It's like, you're not gonna like, he's not gonna get your brain out of there or anything, but yeah. Like your neck, like, yeah, major arteries and stuff. Yeah. I don't know what the, did he do the leather thing?
Yeah, he did. It was a she, actually.
Oh, she.
Yeah, she did the leather thing, and I didn't ask why, but I liked it.
You're like, this is good.
I was glad she did the leather thing.
It wouldn't be authentic without the leather thing.
And she did the lather in the cup thing and banged the cup on the table. Yes,
perfect. And she used the brush, you know? Yeah. See? I feel like, yeah, this is like that part of the process, that's where a lot of like the style points, you know, and the form points come in. And then like the actual shave, like they're still looking for like form, but like that's a lot of technique and a lot of like end results kind of work. So like you're judged for multiple things, you know, you're judged for like technique, style, and then obviously the like final result, like clean, the clean shave of it, you know.
Maybe there's different categories for like sculpting beards.
Like most creative or like
most
beautiful or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to like wax the mustache too. That's part of the process.
I like this. Wow. I would watch this show.
Yeah, we could go on about this for a very long time. We could probably.
I just want to say I think I know what the leather thing is. It just hit me. It might be for sharpening the blade.
Yeah.
Could that be?
That seems right. Like, I mean, getting all of the like the jaggedness off of it.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. That's just popped into my head. Anyway, I would watch the crap out of this on ESPN.
Same. So
please pick that up. Competitive shaving or whatever the hell it's called. Competitive. Oh, and then like the two names they you have, competitive safety and competitive straight edge are like the two subcategories.
Yeah.
And but that's it. Doesn't it's not said. It doesn't say shaving. It's competitive safety and competitive straight edge. It sounds very like weirdly like British tennis. Terminology, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Yeah,
those are the two. Okay, now that we've defined an entire new sport, here's a good one. What food, if weaponized, would be the deadliest?
What do you mean weaponized?
I don't know. take that however you will.
Habanero
peppers. How would you weaponize them, though?
They have capsaicin in them. You could extract put it into pepper spray.
Oh, I think they already do that.
They do.
Okay, so that was so you basically answered the question with a real question.
What about something that doesn't exist yet, though?
Like what?
I don't know.
I was thinking like oysters or something like that.
Ouch. Yeah.
Well, no, I wasn't thinking like the cutting part. I was thinking like,
oh, you were thinking of the bacteria.
Yeah, we've had this discussion before.
Yeah,
like force feeding oysters or something, or just like you know, like napalm, just like doing that with like oysters.
What?
You know, like dropping a lot of oysters on people.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd
probably get sick because they'd
get a horrible infection.
They're unwashed oysters. Yeah. You know, so there's my first thought, I guess. Or like old cheese, you know, that could work too. Like stinky, moldy cheese or something like that.
Yeah, so you're going for more like the biological warfare.
Yeah, that's the way I was thinking of it. Sorry, I don't know if you have a different way, that's fine. I just, that's how I thought of it first.
Maybe like pineapples, they're kind of spiny.
So, like, throw them at people or something?
You could have, like, a potato gun, but put a
pineapple
in it. Yeah.
You know, it's solid. Like, a coconut is pretty solid, too.
Yeah.
You could, like, go back and forth between the pineapple. You could have a pineapple gun and, like, a coconut gun.
Yeah, in Donkey Kong, you have a coconut shotgun. You do.
It fires in spurts.
Yeah. And if he shoots you.
It's gonna hurt. Oh, God. Why do I remember that song?
It was a good song.
Was it, though?
Yeah, I think it was.
I don't think it was. Okay, what fictional invention would you like to be real?
The Philosopher's Stone.
From Harry Potter?
Yeah.
What does the Philosopher's Stone even do?
It basically grants wishes.
So it's like a genie stone.
No, I mean, you can transmute lead into gold with it.
Mm-hmm. Just like the Philosopher's Stone in real... Not real. I was about to say
in real. Yeah, in real life.
Whoops! Well, you know, before Harry Potter, there was the fiction... There was a fictional thing called the Philosopher's Stone. I don't remember where it's from.
Yeah, it's from, like, 17th century...
Yeah, ancient...
Something. Bad chemistry.
Yeah, and it was alchemy. The... Yeah, and the, and the, the thing was led into gold. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was in Harry Potter, like what the thing
is. I think in Harry Potter it was kind of like Full Metal Alchemist. Like it just made magic super powerful or something.
Okay. Or it like made one thing into another thing. Like not necessarily led into gold. It's like whatever you want or whatever.
Yeah. It'd be nice to be able to transmute lead into gold, though.
Yeah, it would. It would be more than nice. Mine is like the Fing Longer from Futurama, you know?
Remind me what that is.
The professor creates this prosthetic
finger. Oh, I remember what it is.
And it's just really long. It's just a really long finger that he like has on his hand. I just feel like it would be useful.
You could turn on the TV from super far away.
From sitting on your couch? Yeah. Yeah. You could like... Like, if you're, like, cooking dinner or something, and you're walking across the room, and you need to, like, turn the dial down or whatever, like, just finger it, you know?
If you work in networking, you could, you know, undo some cables with that finger.
Yeah. You could turn the temperature up or down on the AC whenever you wanted, like, from across the room. I don't know, the uses are, like, many, many, many uses. All right, do you want to do a couple more and then jump into some trivia?
Sure.
Okay. All right, I have a bunch more, and I'm trying to figure out what's the best one to do here. I don't know. They're all good. Oh, that one's really bad. Okay, let's just do this really bad one. So preface this by I never, ever, ever pick these questions because they're always look. I always like look at them because I find them from Reddit, and I always look at them like this is the stupidest thing. But today I decided that I was going to do this one just out of sheer curiosity. So life is a video game. I'm gonna read it like I imagine the person
in the Reddit voice.
Yeah, and the person that wrote it. Life is a video game and you just leveled up and gained a skill point. Where do you put that skill point? What do you do? You have the classic stats. I mean, if you want to go crazy with your stats, that's fine, too. Like, if you want to put it in some other thing.
Let's say they're Fallout stats.
Fallout. So you got, like, strength, vitality, endurance, intelligence, charisma, luck.
And you know? Perception.
Perception.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got. So what do you got? What are you doing?
I don't know. What would you do?
I would do charisma.
You could
get anything with charisma. If we're going by Fallout rules, like, charisma is the ultimate stat. Like, convince anyone, like, you're in any conversation, right? And just be like, oh, I don't want, like, and you're like, hey, can you do this for me? And they're like, I don't really want to. And you're like, well, I have 100 charisma, so let me just do a quick charisma check here. And then, boom, do whatever I want. Also, you could get any job you wanted, because you could just convince anyone you were qualified, because you had so much charisma. You could become the president of the United States if you wanted to. You could, I don't know. You could do whatever you wanted. You would be like the most successful person in the world if you could just.
Yeah, I think that one is definitely the most useful in real life. Because I mean, what are you going to use
magic for?
Yeah, in real life, like yes. you're not going to be able to punch your way to
be
glory.
No, no, yeah. Like, the only thing strength would be useful for is, like, if you're an MMA fighter or something, or, like, a football player. You know? The only two stats... Yeah,
even then, charisma might be your better bet in those careers.
Because then you could be famous, because you have such a good personality.
Yeah.
The only stats I could see, like, useful in real life, like, endurance might be useful, but, like, not enough for me to waste anything on it. That seems like a dump stat to me.
Yeah. Maybe if you were, you know, you're old, you're about to retire.
Yeah. Like endurance.
You don't really need charisma anymore.
That's true. The only two I could see useful in real life are like intelligence and charisma.
Yeah, same.
But intelligence, like, you reach a point in intelligence where it's like, I don't need to be any smarter than I am right now. You know what I mean?
You can have all the intelligence in the world, but if you don't have charisma, you're not going to do anything.
Yeah, you're not getting anywhere. There are plenty of really smart, really sad people out there. Let's just put it that way. I mean, it's true. It's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the internet is proof of that. You know, there are plenty of smart people out there that don't do anything because they're probably really not charismatic about stuff. And I'm not charismatic, but
yeah,
you know, I have some, I guess, little charisma. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you have a job. You must have some.
I must have a little, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a podcast. I feel like that's... Oh, that's another good thing. If we put charisma, the podcast would be more popular.
But our charisma, that must mean our charisma is not very good.
It's probably bad. What do you think our charisma is between the two of us? Let's see. Okay. Let's say it's capped at 10. Like,
okay,
you
know, so between 0 and 10?
Between, our individual charisma is capped at 10. So I might have 1 and you might have 10. But, like, what's our total together? Like, what do you think our total is?
I have no idea. Isn't it subjective? I mean, doesn't it depend on who you ask, kind of?
All right, you give me a rating. And I'll give you one. You won't offend me, don't worry. I don't care. You can say 0 if you want. I don't care.
I don't know. I think we're both above average, right?
For charisma?
Yeah, aren't we? Oh, maybe
I don't
not.
Know about that, no. If anything, we're average.
Yeah, maybe it's just say 5 and 5.
5 and 5, yeah.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, that's fair. That's the boring answer, but that's fine. But if we both had like 10 and 10, we'd have this podcast would be like the biggest thing ever. Because we'd be like, it'd probably be the most annoying podcast ever, too.
Yeah, I would hate it.
I'd be like, welcome to the Time Bass Show, everyone. I'm Ty Mazes.
You know, I'm Bass.
And today we're going to do a great episode on the great things that we talked about last week. That would be the show.
Yeah, oh, basically.
I can't even. Oh, man.
Like you know those YouTube painful. People?
Yes. Oh, my God.
It would
God.
Be like that.
YouTube people are the worst.
I can't listen to them for even a couple minutes.
They're so bad and charismatic. And I think the thing that... What?
They're so bad. That sounds so funny.
They're so bad and charismatic. It's true, though. I think the thing that bothers me so much about YouTube people... And I'm painting in broad strokes here, but, you know, I'm not criticizing everyone. It's just... The ones that are really famous are that, like, they're really charismatic. They're really animated. They're really animated. They're really confident in themselves, but they don't realize that they're not really anything special at all, I guess.
But aren't they?
But they're not, like, I don't know. Every time I watch it, I was like, why are you so... Why do you think you're so good at this? Because you're not. But, like, I guess other people think they are. I don't know. I think it's, like, a confidence is key kind of thing, right? Like, you know, fake it till you make it. Like, you know.
Maybe.
If you're, like, really confident and really charismatic that you're have a really important thing to say, people will listen. Even if the content of the thing you're saying is, like, absolutely nothing.
Yeah. The reason I can't watch that stuff is... I just think their voices are annoying. When I listen to something, I want it to be in a conversational tone.
Yes, me too.
I would never talk to someone that talks like that ever.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Hey, it's your dog, Big G YouTube guy here, and we're here to talk about the biggest news of the day. I'm going to throw it over.
Like over enunciating and being...
I'm going to throw it over to my partner, Batty G. That's you, by the way.
I can't.
Oh, that's so sad. It's fine. Yeah, it's annoying. It's like that. The other thing that they do is they cut every, like, 2 seconds. Even quicker than that.
Yeah, it's super edited.
I don't understand what the hell the point of that is. Like, can they not form a coherent sentence for longer than, like, 5 seconds or something?
Did you just answer your own question?
Maybe. Like, we do this podcast, 0 edits. Zero. I mean, we edit the beginning and we edit the end, but the middle, the, like, hour and whatever minutes, completely unedited. Completely, yeah. 100% we are just talking to each other in a normal conversation. And it's not like we're, like, flubbing up all the time. I mean, sometimes, but, like...
I mean, we do, but...
But, like, we're having a regular human conversation. I don't know, like, why do they need to edit every 2 seconds? Are they just, do they can't, can they not read the script that they wrote for themselves or something?
I think it has to do with attention span and their audience.
What do you mean?
I think, I don't think the average person who is watching famous YouTube person has a very long attention span. So anything,
so any like amount a visual of content trick that is longer something?
Than, yeah. Any content that's longer than 5 seconds is, they'll lose interest.
So basically they're cutting a lot to make it, like, visually interesting.
Yeah, so and like, to get the, like, just have a bang, 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 one after the other.
Okay, because, like, if they didn't cut, then it would be a longer video because there would be natural pauses in speech and, like, peaks and valleys is kind of what you're saying. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. if I was explaining something to you, it might be, like, a minute. But if I cut every time I, like, took a breath, then it's like, sorry, that probably sounds really annoying to everyone who's listening at home. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. So they're, like, literally just get it out, like, as fast as possible.
Yes.
I don't know, that's annoying. That annoys the hell out of me. I hate that so much.
Yeah. You ever go to a how-to YouTube video and that guy is there?
Oh my god.
Trying to explain
if
to you
how to... If that guy is teaching me something, then I am not listening to that.
Like, you look up how to switch your air conditioning vent or something like that.
Oh my god. And the first, like, 2 minutes are like, hello, YouTube, it's your boy G Howdy here, and I'm going to tell you how to switch your air conditioning. Nobody knows how to do this, but I do, because I'm the best YouTuber there is, and you better like and subscribe, because if you don't, I'm not going to put it on any more how-to air conditioning videos. So let's get right into it. But first, let me call it to my sponsors and my Patreon subscribers, too. I'm going to list off the 30 names. This is going to take 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, like, 8 minutes into the video, he's like, and push the button, and that's how you change your air conditioning. You're like, wow, that was fantastic.
He has, like, a story after every single small step that he accomplishes.
I went to Arby's today, and there was someone in line who didn't know how to change their air conditioning. And we talked for 30 minutes. He has a pet dog named Cher. Like, I don't care about your pet dog. Random guy at Arby's. Yeah, I don't know. I think we should change our format to that. Next episode, we should do that. We should take the personas of YouTube celebrities.
I don't think I know how.
I don't either. I mean, I just faked it, but I couldn't do it for longer than, like, 20 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, right. I run out of things to say.
Yeah, maybe that's why they cut so much. It's just... Like, it's like intervals. They have the moments, and then they string all the moments together.
Oh, so it's like, so what I just did, I did my big spiel, 20 seconds, and then I was like, I don't know what else to say, because I just, like, said random bullshit for 20 seconds, and then they cut there, and they're like, all right, I need to have another random bullshit, and then they record, and they do it again, and again, and again, and again.
And then they string it all together.
And that's a video, and then they get 2 million people watching drivel, basically. We're being really mean to YouTubers, but that's fine.
It's fine.
Some of them are fine, but...
Are they? Which ones?
There's, like, a couple that are okay. do you want to get into trivia, or do you want to do one more? We should probably get into trivia, and then we'll do one
I'm good with trivia. I have some good ones today.
I have a good question to follow up trivia, so let's do
good. Okay, so we're going to begin trivia. I'm going to tell you your categories first.
Let's do it.
So the categories are movies, United States history, and railroads.
Railroads?
Okay. Yes.
These are very different than our normal categories, but that's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
There might be some similarities, you'll see.
Okay.
So you're going to choose between your lifelines. You can choose 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo, you can choose Monty Hall, 50-50, Phone a Friend, and Rhyme Time.
I'm going to go... What about Ask Arando? Is that still...
Oh, you can still use that.
You're like, it never works, but you can use
you
it
can
if you
try.
Want. I'm going to go with 10-second Bing. I think that's a good, like, middle ground one, right?
Yeah.
10-second Bing, Monty Hall, and Phone a Friend.
Okay. So your first question is a movie question.
I like movies. Let's do it.
Where was The Matrix filmed? This is the first film.
Ooh.
Was it A, Sydney, Australia? Mm-hmm. B, Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, great.
C, Brisbane, Australia.
Oh, come on.
Or D, Newcastle, Australia.
Oh, I hate you.
You see what I did there?
Yes, because once you said Sydney, I was like, oh, I remember there, like, I was watching AMC. You know how they have, like, the factoid version of the movie where they have, like, facts? And I remember seeing a thing that was like, blah, 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 was filmed in Australia. And I was like, oh, great. So when you said Sydney, I was like, yes, I got it, because I remember it being filmed in Australia. But then you said the rest, and I don't remember the city. I just remember it is Australia. So
thanks. Your choices are thanks. Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, or Newcastle.
Newcastle. Can you say them in an Australian accent, please?
I don't know if I can. Sydney, Melbourne. No, I can't. I can't do it. Yeah, you can.
Sydney's a harp. Sydney. Melbourne. No. Melbourne. Oh, man, that's hard.
Yeah.
Brisbane. I think they say it like that. Brisbane. G'day. You have to say g'day first to start. G'day.
Newcastle.
Have you noticed that some accents are easier if you say, like, a really stereotypical phrase first and then you launch into them? Like, Australia, it's like, g'day. G'day, let's put a shrimp on the barbie in Newcastle, Brisbane, Melbourne, and Sydney. See, now I can do it.
Yeah, you nailed it that time.
Because I said g'day and shrimp on the barbie. Okay, I'm going to do a tensing of Bing for this one.
Okay.
All right, I'm typing in Bing. Let me know when the timer is ready.
Okay. Your timer starts in 3, 2, 1, begin.
Where was the Matrix filmed? Sydney, Australia, final answer.
A, Sydney, Australia is the correct answer.
Yes, Sydney, Australia, mate. Good eye, governor. That's
nice work.
All right, next question.
All right, next question is United States history.
All right, let's do it.
In 1947, the first presidential pardon was given to...
Mm-hmm.
A goose. B, a turkey.
Oh,
C, a chicken. Or D, a duck. This was in 1947.
I thought this would be a person.
It's 1947? Actually bird.
1947. It's 1947, you said?
Yes, the first presidential pardon was given to A, a goose. B, a turkey. C, a chicken, or D, a duck.
I love, just for the record, I love how the trivia has different categories, but they're actually all the same.
Yeah.
They're still Australia and bird.
Yes.
I kind of want to say turkey, because I know it's tradition to pardon turkeys on Thanksgiving. But I'm not... Sure. I mean, I don't know what they were doing in the 1700s, you know?
It was 1947.
Oh, 1947. Okay. Yeah. Okay, 1947. I feel like turkey then.
Final answer?
I feel like they pardoned a turkey. Yeah, final answer.
You're correct. B, yes. Turkey is...
Was it for Thanksgiving?
I think so. I didn't read that far. But I know it was just turkey.
Just like goose, duck, whatever.
Yeah.
Turkey, yes. All right. I'm excited about I got that one.
All right. And the final question is what trains. Is the world's longest railway?
Oh.
You already know. I know I think you know the answer because it's one of your life goals to ride on it.
It is.
But let's just go through the motions anyway. Is it A, the Orient Express in Europe?
Mm-hmm.
Is it B, the Blue Train in Africa? Mm-hmm. Is it C, the Trans-Siberian Railway in Siberia?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it D, the Rocky Mountaineer in Canada?
The Rocky Mountain... Trains have cool names, man.
Yeah, they really do.
The Blue Train, the Rocky Mountaineer. What was the other one? Oh, the Orient Express, obviously. That's classic.
Yeah, that's Agatha Christie. Yeah.
Railroad. Well, obviously, I know the answer to this. It's Trans-Siberian Railroad. But I'm going to ask... I'm going to phone a friend to see if they know it anyway, because I think it'll be fun.
Do it.
So, Megan, I need your help. For
I always lose.
That's fine. What is the longest railroad in the world? Did I phrase that right?
Yeah, you did.
Is it A, the Orient Express? B, the Trans-Siberian Railroad? C, the Blue Railroad?
The Blue Train.
The Blue Train in Africa. Or D, the
Rocky Mountaineer.
Rocky Mountaineer in the United States?
In Canada.
In Canada.
Blake Miles.
Trans-Siberian is her answer.
See, Trans-Siberian Railway in Siberia is correct.
Ooh, you got it. I already knew it. Good job, man.
Good to phone a friend there.
Well, I was like curious.
Unnecessary usage.
Hey, I had it. I might as well use it. Yes, Trans-Siberian Railroad. Which I really want to ride on one day.
We're going to ride on it one day.
Well, remember our plan was to go this Christmas.
I don't know about that.
You remember that was the plan, though, right?
Yeah. No, that's going to take a little more planning because, I mean, you have to go through, like, eight different countries.
I know.
And you have to
prepare
your passport and...
I do want to do it, though.
Yeah.
I want to do it, and I want to, like, bring, a great novel and, like, play chess.
You can bring American Gods by Neil Gaiman.
Smoke a pipe.
Yes.
You know, do all those things. Wear a lot of tweed. You know, I feel like all these things are important.
Yeah, we need to grow mustaches.
Yes.
That's very important.
We need to buy, like, really old luggage, too.
Yes.
You know, like, leather, like, luggage or whatever. And we need to wear, like trench coats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, all right. That was good trivia. So did I get all those right?
You got all of those right. Three out of three.
I'm good. So
I think that puts you in the lead.
Yeah, it's 6-8 now. I'm winning by 2. So, do you want to... I said I have a really good question for you. Do you still want to hear it?
We got a user question.
Do we really? No, we don't.
On Twitch, we got a user question.
No, we didn't. You're lying to me
right now. We did.
Who is it? Who says it?
GoBananas35.
I have no idea who that is, but let's do it.
When did Jesus die?
That's the question.
That's the question.
That's the user question?
That's the user question.
When did Jesus die?
Yes.
0 AD, right? Isn't that when he died?
Yeah, but...
Are they asking like a month or something?
I mean, that's all we have to work with.
Okay, so I'm going to go with... Wait, what day is Easter? April? Oh, no, it's not a specific day. It's a Sunday.
Yeah. Easter is this Sunday. April 16th.
Right. 16th. Oh, yeah, you would know that. So, okay, my answer is April 16th, 0 AD. That's when Jesus died. That's what I'm going with. What do you think?
Because
I think our calendar starts when Jesus dies, right? Or does it start when he... No, it starts when he dies.
I'm going to have to go with April 14th, 0 AD.
Oh, you're smarter than me.
See what I did there?
I see, I'm dumb. It was a trick question, because he died on Friday and he rose on Sunday.
Yes. So there's your answer, GoBananas35.
April 14th, 0 AD. Or is it 1? Oh, that's tough. Ooh, is it 0 or 1?
Is this more of a math question?
Kind of, yeah. Is it 0 or 1? I'm serious.
Did it start at 0 or 1?
I don't know. Did it?
I have no idea.
Because, like, okay, so, like, April 14th. 0. Now, April 13th, is that still 0, or is that that's a different year, right?
Okay, wait a second. It doesn't make sense to have a 0 AD, does it? Because then it would just be April 14th.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you wouldn't write 0.
Right, because there's no year yet. And on top of that, it doesn't make any sense because it wouldn't be April, because the year doesn't start on April 14th. So what happened? What the hell happened with the calendar? That doesn't make any sense, right?
I think it started at 1. It started at January 1.
So Jesus died on January 1st, 1 AD.
That's weird, isn't it?
That doesn't make any sense!
That's weird.
Right? That doesn't make any sense. It sounds to me like 100 years later, they're like, we need a day. For Jesus,
we need an epoch.
Yeah, we need some indication. And they're like, he'll die in April, but we're starting the year in January still, because whatever. See, if they thought about it, they would have made Jesus die in the beginning of the year, because then it would make sense.
But then no. April would be a new year.
Yeah. But no, they didn't think it through. So the answer is April 14th, 1 AD, or January 1st, 1 AD, depending on your interpretation of how time works, really. How the dates work. That was a good user question. It seemed simple, but it was like a little more difficult.
Thank you, GoBananas35.
Thank you, GoBananas, and please tune in again, because you're a great listener. I don't know who you are, but you're excellent.
Okay. All right, you said you had one more?
I have one final question before we do that.
Okay.
You've been charged with naming the eighth deadly sin. What is it? Go.
All right, let's see. Lust, gluttony, pride, wrath, name sloth.
I feel like we're back in, like, Sunday school at this point, right?
Yeah, we're talking about some weird stuff.
When did Jesus die? And then what's the eighth deadly sin? Lust, gluttony, wrath, sloth, envy, greed, and...
whatever the other one is.
Murder, stealing. I don't remember.
No, that's not...
wrath.
Yeah. How about...
what do you got?
I don't know. Do you have one?
Being mean. No, that's not really a good one.
Trolling.
That's kind of lying, though. Wait, is that a sin? Lying
isn't
not a sin.
It's not a deadly sin.
Lying isn't a deadly sin? There you go. Lying. Right?
Dishonesty, yeah.
Dishonesty, yeah. I can't believe that's not a deadly sin. That's crazy. Lying. There you go. That's, yeah, lying. It would probably sound more flowery, though. It'd be like
the deadly sins
deception or something. You know?
Yeah, they have cooler names than lying.
Yeah, like deceiving. Deception. Yeah,
deception. Or like treachery.
Oh, treachery. Now that, yeah, like is that. That is the name I can get behind. Treachery. Oh, that sounds cool. Okay, well, that's been episode 29 of the Time Bat Show. I'm Time Aces.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
And what's our sign-off phrase for the day?
When the eagle goes dark.
Ooh, it's time for the bats to come out.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Perfect. Anyway, go ahead about Giuseppe Lombard.
Anyway, so we're going to name the episode Giuseppe Lombard's Extreme Shaving.
Right.
And this is basically
it's like a PS2 game. Era game where it's competitive shaving.
Yeah, and it's like Trauma Center, except it's shaving.
And the box art would be like Giuseppe on the box, like a straight edge razor.
I'm imagining he's doing like a big swooping motion.
Yes, I was imagining the same thing.
Like his arms are in sort of they're in a parabola shape.
He kind of looks like he's conducting a symphony.
Yes. We have the exact
it's
same
a straight edge, and there's like air lines.
And he has this weird like smile.
Yes, with his like mustache or whatever.
Yes, he has that. It's like a thin mustache, but it's like lightning bolts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it's really thin, like multi-tiered kind of mustache. Yeah.
And and he has a pompadour.
Yeah.
A black pompadour.
It's rated E10+ because there's some blood in it if you really screw up the game, yeah, though. And you have like a competitor, you have like a 2v2 mode in Giuseppe where you're like trying to shave 10 people faster than your opponent, you know?
Yes.
It's like a split screen.
And there's a story mode.
Where you're trying to be the best competitive shaver in all of Italy or something like that.
Yeah, you start out as a no-name, like Little Mac in Punch-Out.
Can you like customize your character like in Tony Hawk, though?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but the rival is Giuseppe.
Yeah, like you're trying to get up to his level.
Yeah.
Like, he's the Mike Tyson of the game. You know, like in Tony Hawk, how you have, like, the free-for-all levels, where you're trying to collect, like, the VHS tapes and stuff? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
In this one, you'd be, like, trying to collect, like, pizza or something. Really, really racist like that.
You have to collect shaving cream and...
And implements, shaving implements. Yeah.
No, and you have to finance your shaving equipment by winning competitions.
Oh,
you
can, that's good.
You can buy, like, upgrades to shave, like, razors.
Yes.
You can buy, like, the Schick.
Oh, yeah. Like, when you're in Tony Hawk where you choose your skateboard, it's like they have, like, a choose your blade screen or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can get, like, emblems on it and stuff.
Yeah, you can draw your own emblems, kind of like in Armored Core 2.
Yeah. And you could like this sounds so much like a PS2 game. And they have campaign, and then they have the other mode would be called exhibition mode.
It's more like Marvel versus Capcom.
Yes.
Maybe you can choose a team.
Team of Shapers.
It's like a tag team match.
Or like, I'll do the left side, you'll do the right.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I need Magneto for this one.
Yeah, I'm thinking of calling in assists like Marvel versus Capcom.
And then they do like some quick swipes.
Yeah.
And then there's like a puff cloud. And then like the guy's like less shaved, like he's more shaved after that or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like an action attack or something like that. It's a team attack.
Yes.
Just send me log bars of stream shaving. I have so many ideas for this game. It sounds like a PS2 game. Oh, it has like rumble support. It's like one of the first games that has like rumble support. And it like rumbles when you're getting too close to like the jugular or something like that. Because it's like the person you're shaving is
getting nervous.
Yeah, it's breathing heavy. And their heart's beating faster, and so you can feel it in the controller. Okay,
there's a heartbeat monitor.
Yes. It's like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is the best game. I can picture this game, like, 100%.
I have the smallest detail already mapped out about this game.
No, me too. This sounds like a real PS2 game. It'd probably be made by like a Japanese developer, though.
Yeah, it's one of those weird Japanese.
It's a little
games.
Off the wall, you know.
It somehow got, you know, nativized in North America.
It's a really bad translation, though.
Yeah, it got picked up by Gillette, and now there's like this awkward product placement all over it,
like in the loading screens and stuff.
Yeah,
like they didn't understand how to like put it in the game, so they just like swapped some textures out, and they like look really, really awful.
Yeah.
And, like, Gillette is, like, listed as, like, the developer of the game or something like that.
Yeah. Do you remember that old Super... It was, like, Super Nintendo where you played the Pepsi check guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Pepsi red
Man
circle guy?
Whatever, yeah.
It's
just like that.
That's how it got to North America.
Giuseppe Lombard's Extreme Shaving. I would play the shit out of this game. We Same. Need to get someone, our listeners, to create the box art for this. Because I'd be so, like, pumped if we had this.
I would be so excited about
that. If we got the box art for this. Because this could be... I don't know. I think this is one of our best ideas. Anyway, this was an extended segment of the Time Bet Show. We ended the show, and we couldn't stop with the Giuseppe Lombard.
Yeah,
we stopped the episode, and then we kept talking about Giuseppe Lombard.
We were
Lombard.
Like, by the way, that Giuseppe Lombard's extreme shaver idea.
So we immediately hit record again, and now here we are. So you're welcome for this bonus content. Anyway, all right, well, that was the real show. So think about Giuseppe Lombard, audience. Tell us your thoughts. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Time Bet Show. Or contact us by email, contact@timebetshow.com.
We're on Twitch, too, now, so watch us. Twitch.
So, yeah, please come watch us. We had one person. We don't know if he was a real person or not, but
he asked us a weird question, but you know what? We're all about that.
We are. So we don't want just whatever the guy's name was, George Banana or whatever his name
is. Yeah, Go Bananas 5
or something. We don't just want Go Bananas here. We want you. So please watch us on Twitch. All right, that's really the end of the show. Good night, everyone.
Good night.